They want to be active. They want to do high level things. And that is a good thing, that we have to do it the right way and we need the proper coaching to do it.
Happiness, success, freedom, energy, fun, balance, strength, peace. It all stems from our physical and emotional well-being. You're in the right place for a healthy discussion with experts to show you the way. This is Be Well, a podcast from Crossover Health. Not sick is not enough. Being well is a movement to get the most we want out of life. In each of our episodes, we pick a health or lifestyle topic, bring in one of our doctors from the front lines, and have a real conversation. Be well, do good, enjoy life. What's up, everyone? This is Dan Lord, Program Director for Crossover Health. You're in the right place for a healthy discussion. Just a reminder, the following presentation is for informational purposes only and is not intended nor implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Please do not apply any of this information without first speaking with your doctor. Today, I have my friend Nicole Liu joining us. She is a brilliant board-certified physical therapist and orthopedic clinical specialist. She received her BS in psychobiology from UCLA and her doctorate physical therapy degree from University of California, San Francisco. After physical therapy school, Nicole completed a year-long orthopedic residency. Nicole pioneered the virtual physical therapy program at Crossover Health and is currently the physical therapy lead on the virtual team. Nicole, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate all that you do at Crossover. Could you tell us a little bit about your practice?
Thank you for having me. Like you said, I'm currently the lead for the virtual physical therapy team. I spent 6 years doing what is more traditional physical therapy practice with in-person visits, but less traditional in the sense that I've spent the last 6 years working in the corporate healthcare and wellness sector. So this enables us to practice physical therapy in a way that we're really, I feel like, promoting all around health and wellness, not just like injury treatment and prevention.
I love it. And we learned a lot. And maybe talk to that. What are the things that you learned about using virtual care within your physical therapy practice?
I do think that we always have to have personalized care that always has to come first. We always have to meet the member where they're at. So like if they want to be seen in person, like that is going to trump anything that we offer.
Right.
But, you know, in that subsection of things that we thought we couldn't manage, such as things like post-operative care, I was proven wrong. We definitely can manage post-operative care. I've had multiple ACL rehabs that I've done. I've had like ankle ORIFs that I've rehabbed virtually. And it's actually a great way to manage post-op care, I think, once you get out of the very acute aspect of that, because so much of post-operative care is like frequent check-ins and progressions and then dealing with regressions and developing programs and redeveloping programs. And the fact that you can have so many more touch points has proven very beneficial. So it's opened my eyes to things that I definitely was, they were not on my radar, things that I thought we could do.
And you mentioned meeting the patient where they are. I think one of the other interesting things we've seen, which is we wanted to kind of get in today, is people are accessing their PT differently now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're trying to become active in your life,
yeah.
You're trying to, you know, work on, you know, maybe you have a chronic disease you're trying to improve on,
yeah.
Or maybe you're trying to just get healthier. Have you seen that in your practice?
I think that whether or not it's always the right thing to do, I think that people are consuming medical information via technology.
Yep.
Right? And we're on TikTok to get, you know, tips on our back pain, and people are like making TikToks, or we're on like Instagram following this person who says they're a fitness expert or that person who's like sharing knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are consuming information this way. After I had my baby about a year ago, I was consuming information that way. I never thought I would try to get medical information from my Instagram, but you know, it's 3 a.m. It's like, am I going to go online and read a journal article, or am I going to watch a 2-minute Instagram reel, right? And so I was consuming information that way. And I just think that we have to adapt to the way that people want their information. And instead of having people go to those kinds of sources or go to Dr. Google, they can come to us. I joke with my husband many times, and I'm pretty serious, even though I say it in a joking way, that I'm like our friends' most useful friend. I feel like, and I have a friend who tells me I'm her most useful friend. Like, I feel like I always get, and you're probably the same because you're a chiropractor, right? You always get friends reaching out with injuries or questions about their bodies. You like get, you know, I'll wake up to like photos of like swollen ankles and things like that. Like, we've been at, people have been accessing us this way for a long time. We just haven't been doing it in this fashion for like our members and patients. And, you know, it's really the same idea. It's the exact same concept is a person can, you know, sprain their ankle, and instead of going online to Google and trying to diagnose how bad their sprain is, or if they need to go to the hospital, if it's a fracture, they can pull out their phone, they can open their laptop, and they can message us, and they can ask the professional and the provider who they have a relationship with. And I think that there's a lot of power in that, because we know that when people have access fast and efficiently, then we can prevent a lot of downstream, you know, ER visits and urgent care visits and imaging and surgeries and cost. And we save people time and get them better faster, hopefully.
You know, a lot of people are trying to exercise and stay healthy, but they get injured and, you know, they hurt their shoulder or they hurt their back. But yeah. I think one of the key things is you want them to continue moving, and you want them to continue to stay healthy while they rehab their injured body part, right? And so maybe the weekend warrior example, at least to me, is really important and a really key way of how you guys work.
Yeah. So first I want to say, I love our weekend warriors. They get a really bad rap because...
They do get a bad rap.
Yeah, they get a bad rap, which they shouldn't. I mean, it says warrior in the title, right? Like, shouldn't that already sound badass?
Give me some examples. Like, who are weekend warriors?
So our weekend warriors are engineer that has a family, works all the time during the week, gets off work, you know, has to take care of his kids, all that kind of good stuff. And then on the weekend, he has his time.
Yeah.
And so he plays in what is supposed to be like a non-competitive league, but obviously everyone is very competitive. Everyone used to play soccer in high school and college. And so he goes hard one time a week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, our stay-at-home mom who, again, is at home taking care of the kids all the week, is like really active with her kids,
right,
but isn't necessarily working out. And then on Sundays, she's running a Tough Mudder. Yeah. She and her girlfriends are running a Tough Mudder.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you encourage this, though. This is a good thing in general.
Yeah, there was a research article that came out, I think it was in 2017, that said that weekend warriors benefit from having decreased cardiovascular disease and also decreased cancer mortality. It's important to know, I think, what the exercise recommendations are, what the physical activity recommendations are, because I think that I, even as a physical therapist, wasn't aware of the fact that there were even recommendations for that until maybe a few years ago. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, they released guidelines, which I think they update every 2 years, that recommended at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity exercise, plus muscle strengthening or including muscle strengthening at least 2 times a week, in order to reap the full health benefits of exercise. I love working with weekend warriors because they have drive, right? Like, they want to be active. They want to do high level things. And that is a good thing. That is a good thing. I think that we have to do it the right way and we need the proper coaching to do it. But the human body is insanely adaptable and resilient if you let it be. Like, it will adapt to so many things, but the key is that you have to give it time to adapt. Otherwise, we often run into injuries and things. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can read about injury prevention. especially when it comes to the weekend warriors or really anybody. Like, there's so much out there. The research is not amazing on injury prevention. And my opinion is, I think that most injuries happen when we have a really sudden change of activity in either direction. So for weekend warriors, that would be maybe we took a whole year off from playing our sport or from running, or in my case, from like powerlifting. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, we still got it. Like, we're young and spry. We're getting back into the gym. Yeah. And then the next day, like for me, I like couldn't even pick up the baby. I'm like, well, now I'm useless.
No, that's a really good point. And where you guys can advise people in a more sustainable path.
First of all, I think if you want to start a new activity, if you want to be a weekend warrior, the first thing you should do is pat yourself on the back, because I think that that's a huge deal, that you want to start a new activity or return to an activity or be more physically active. Whatever your motivation is, I think it's great. I think it's great. And you want to try to keep that motivation. And then the second thing you want to do is you have to check in with yourself and check in with your body and, you know, leave your ego aside and ask yourself, like, what is it that I have really been doing over the past few months, right? Like, have I really been running consistently, or have I been like running on and off, or like running with the dog who stops to pee every 5 minutes, right? Like, right. And you have to come up with a starting point. And then I think you reach out, like, where do I go from here, right? Like, how do I, this is my goal. Like, yeah. This is what I want to get to. How do I work towards that? And how do I take care of my body along the way?
Right, right. Well, you hear things like movement is medicine. You know, you'll have coaches for whether it's Peloton or CrossFit or you name it. These are all great and wonderful communities to be involved in. But, you know, a lot of it is like no pain, no gain, you know, push until, you know, you almost break. And if you're in the right position, athletically, physically, mentally, to do that, great. Like, we want you to do that. However, there's no one size fits all. So if you want to go and do X activity, you have a progression. You're thinking about the, you know, the specifics to your body, and you have an expert that can guide you through those steps. You know, maybe you could talk through what are the kind of key buckets of things that you would advise someone on in order to help them out.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you first. Dan, did you ever play any high school sports?
I did play high school sports.
What did you play? Should I guess?
You should guess, yes. What was I?
Oh my gosh. I don't want to insult any athletes out there. So did you play football?
I did play football.
Okay. Wow. See, luckily football is not, I mean, people will like play flag football recreationally, but I do feel like as people get older, they're not necessarily like out there playing.
Well, I'm not ready to go play tackle football right now, believe me.
I think, and I tell my patients this often, like, I think it's ironic because, as you know, right, like when we're young, and I also played sports growing up. I played basketball when I was younger. I played in high school. I peaked when I was like 13. So I hit my prime, and then it all was downhill from there. But, you know, as we both know, when you're in high school, you're young. You're like, your body is even more adaptable. It's even more resilient. And it's ironic because when you're in high school, you're doing a lot of training. You're like in the weight room, you're like running drills, you got personal trainers, you got like multiple coaches, you have all this support staff who's like helping with your training, and you're like young and healthy and you're in good shape and you recover faster. And then we get older, which we never want to admit that we are, and we have none of that, like no support staff, no training, no practice, no like get your butt into the weight room. But of course we think we like still got it, which I definitely think I still got it, right? So I'm like, oh, I can still go play my sport on the weekend, even though I'm not doing the like Monday through Friday of training and stuff.
Or that, or you're realizing that you keep getting injured and now you're not able to achieve activities because your Achilles hurts or your plantar hurts or your back hurts or whatever repetitive stress type of issue you might have. Those are the nagging injuries. And this is a big deal. This isn't just, oh, you want to go exercise. This is your health, your lifestyle. What prevents chronic disease? It's exercise. Reducing your weight or obesity, or, you know, even improving your mood. Movement and exercise does impact so much. And in order to move in the way that you want to, you have to have a healthy body. And why not consult your expert so that you can continue to move, whether one, you're in that kind of transition phase, mm-hmm. think I can still do what I can do and you're not injured yet, or you've experienced that kind of cycle of like you keep starting and getting injured and then you don't have forward progress, right?
Yeah, and I think we should talk about injuries, right? I think that it's unfortunately pretty common, especially for people who would classify themselves as weekend warriors, to have injuries. It's awful. It's a vicious cycle, right? I had a member that I was working with virtually who had injured his Achilles playing soccer. He's a very good soccer player. He was. I think he played soccer in college and he had this injury, and every time he would play, it would come back, and he was playing once, maybe twice a week. And it was kind of this just vicious cycle because he really wanted to stay active, but it was very limiting to him because it had never fully recovered. And what that does is it discourages people from staying active, right? Like these injuries that are now becoming prolonged, they're not very motivating. Like it doesn't make you want to get out on the field or on the court or at the gym. And then we get caught in this cycle of now we're not exercising, right? And that's also not a good thing. And now it's even harder to get back into our activities. So when you get injured from one of these things, right? Like the first thing I always do is I always have a nice, good wallowing or mope session, because you have to recognize that you may not do your activity or sport tomorrow, right? And it's the loss of something. And so I'll like go wallow on the sofa because, you know, I'm a PT. PT shouldn't get hurt. Like, how did I end up injured kind of thing? And then the second thing you should do is you should message your virtual physical therapist and reach out to them and connect with them and let them know what happened. They can immediately help you rule out any serious damage or issues, right? And if there is anything that we are suspecting that is more serious or needs imaging or whatever, we'll get you there as fast as possible, right? Like, let's get the show on the road kind of thing. And then after that, typically we'll recommend some form of active rest for anywhere from like 7 days to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, right? We know how long the inflammatory phase is. That's when the pain is still pretty bad, when there's inflammation. Inflammation is a good thing, right? It means your body is responding in the right way. And during that period, I always tell people there is always something you can do. No matter how injured you are, there is always something you can do, right? And that something is not just like lying on the sofa watching videos of you in your prime soccer days, right? Like there's always something you can do. Sure. And typically with most injuries after the acute inflammatory phase, right, we start laying down new tissue and foundation, you can start to reload whatever you injured in a healthy and safe way under the guidance of a physical therapist. And I think that is often the part that is the hardest for people to self-manage is, okay, maybe my pain has gone down, my inflammation has gone down. A lot of times people will just like go, they're not having pain, right? So they just go right back to the activity they were doing and then it gets re-injured. Or they're like, oh, but it was in pain. Let me just wait longer, right? After you get out of that acute phase and you're starting to gradually reload, you pretty much just build on from there, right? I think we have to respect healing time always. There's kind of two main components to rehab. One is healing time. Even if the thing feels amazing, if you're still in the acute inflammatory phase, you have to respect that it's probably still in the acute inflammatory phase and you can't go back to running, right? The second thing is we have to figure out, is the tissue ready to load, right? Is it strong enough to load? Does it have what it needs strength-wise, mobility-wise, flexibility? And balancing those two things is a little bit of an art, but you need both of them. Yeah. If we haven't respected the tissue healing time or we don't have the components we need for it to be able to load, right, then we're not going to be as successful at getting back to whatever our weekend warrior or activity is or our sport or our weightlifting or anything like that. Injuries happen. They are not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes injuries mean that you're trying, right, that you're trying to stay active, and I think that's a good thing. Getting injured to me is not necessarily a bad thing. I think it becomes a bad thing when our bodies are not recovering how they should from injuries, right? When our bodies aren't being adaptable and resilient like we know they should be. And that becomes a problem, because then we get in, like I said, these vicious cycles of injury and re-injury. And that is, I think, where a lot of the frustrations come. Mm-hmm. I, for one, like if I have an injury and 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, I'm like back to my sport or back to weightlifting. I mean, you know, you should give yourself a round of applause. Like, your body did what it was supposed to do.
Right.
It like healed itself, and you and your PT, right, worked as a team to make sure that your body healed itself.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing your insights. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better. Okay, if we put you on the hot seat.
Yes, it depends on how hot the seat is.
It's lukewarm.
I'm in.
Here we go. What is your favorite podcast at the moment?
My favorite podcast is Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. That's the one I listen to the most consistently, if not every episode. I used to podcast a lot more, but now I work on the virtual team and I work from home and I have no commute. And the only downside of having no commute is less time for podcasting. But I love Armchair Expert because they also have people, not just celebrities, but people who are experts in their fields, and a lot of scientists and psychologists and such.
I like that podcast too.
It's so good. And he's so funny. He's no Dan Lord though, right?
That's the next level funny. So what's your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure is Sour Patch Kids, but I don't feel that guilty about it. So I would say
they're so good.
They're so good. And the Trader Joe's version is pretty good too. I say they're pretty comparable with the gumminess level. My other guilty pleasure right now is Bachelors in Paradise.
Oh boy.
It's great TV. I don't know.
How dare you?
I don't feel that guilty about that one either. It's pretty good.
I'm going to just move on. So what's one thing you do every day to stay healthy?
I try to be very consistent about my exercising. I would say I probably exercise 5 to 6 days a week, and I try to be consistent with getting in like 30 or so minutes. I've recently returned to meditating at night.
Oh, wow.
Which has been nice. It's really hard. Meditating is hard. Anyone who has a meditation practice, kudos to you. It is so hard. But also has great benefit, and I feel like I can feel the benefits immediately. So between those two things, if I can do either of those, I think with having a little one running around the house, then
That would be still a win.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Anyone 18 or over in the United States can be a Crossover Health member. At Crossover, you stay connected to a care team that works together and gets to know you over time. A doctor, a nurse, a mental health expert, a physical therapist, a chiropractor, a health coach, a fitness coach, and a care navigator. Go to crossoverhealth.com to join the healthcare revolution. If you like our podcast, please follow or subscribe and leave a review. If you have a topic you want us to explore, let us know on Facebook or Instagram at Crossover Health. Until next time, be well.